Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the station is doing a series on the neighborhoods of New York City where people make right around the city's median income, around $52,000 a year. Half of all city households make more than that, half make less. But of course, people tend to live in neighborhoods that are stratified by income. The median is much higher in the wealthier districts of Manhattan, for example. But a handful of neighborhoods have right around that median income. And we'll talk about two of them now, Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn and Grasmere on Staten Island. WNYC's Stephen Nesson did the Bed-Stuy story this week. Maybe you heard it elsewhere on the station. And WNYC's Jim O'Grady did the Grasmere story. They both join me now, along with WNYC data news producer Jenny Yee with the numbers. Hi, Stephen. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Jenny, remind us what the median income is. This is not the average income in the city, like add up the 8 million people's income and divide by 8 million, right?
Right. It's not that. The median income is, and we're looking at median household income. So take all the households in New York City, line them up by income, and the median income is who's at the very middle. So what is that figure? For the city, it's $51,865.
And do a lot of people make right around $51,865, or in the age of inequality, do we have a lot of people making a lot more than that, a lot of people making a lot less than that, and the middle is kind of nowhere to be found?
I think, so looking at the five tracks that we covered for Life in the Middle, if you look around the 50,000 mark, there's in each of the tracks, about 15 to 25% of people have that median household income. So it's not the majority, but it is still significant.
A significant group. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about a quarter of the people in the neighborhood making around a certain amount, mm-hmm. that's significant. So, Stephen, Bed-Stuy is a neighborhood on the rise in terms of property values. And what really struck me about your piece was the contrast between the older and the newer resident of Bed-Stuy who you profiled. So here's a clip of Rosalind Morris, who is third generation in her home, purchased originally in her grandparents' generation for $6,000.
Like my mother, she taught me to always save things for a rainy day. I lived on that mentality because she went through the Great Depression. So I lived like I'm going through the Great Depression.
Frugal homeowner Rosalind Morris. Want to talk more about her and why you chose her for your piece?
Sure. She was really interesting. I actually kind of met her by accident. I first met her brother-in-law, who's also living in the home, one of 12 people in this beautiful house. It's actually featured in the American Institute of Architects Guide to New York City, which I discovered later. But the house is striking. It's got these gorgeous arches, this red sort of terracotta facade. And I met her brother-in-law, who's been unemployed for 2 years. And it's such an expensive neighborhood. As we hear in the story, some people pay, you know, well more than $2,000 a month for rent. Brownstones sell for millions. It's like, how do you afford to stay here? He's like, my sister-in-law's family owns the building. We don't have, we've got minimal expenses except for a mortgage because they refinanced. But Rosalind Morris, she's a nurse. She works really hard. And her daughter works for the MTA as a dispatcher, and they just barely get by. More than half their income goes to housing.
So they've got this extended family thing going on, 4 adults, 8 children, right? But even though they've got this refinance mortgage to update the plumbing and things like that, they can afford to stay there even with a household income for that many people of around $52,000 because of the third generation ownership. So contrast that with the newer resident you profiled who's a renter making around $52,000 a year, paying around $2,000 a month in rent. Want to set up the clip of him?
Sure. This is Avi Fry. I believe he's a lawyer, but works for nonprofits. His wife is also she was a lawyer, but now she's a public school teacher. And they would love someday to own a home, just like many middle-class people, but doesn't see it in the cards anytime soon.
The sad thing is, as much as we love this neighborhood, by the time that we're ready to purchase, whenever that may be, this neighborhood will be priced out of. I don't know what the next Bed-Stuy is. I don't know if we'll be looking at East New York at that point or something like that. It won't be here, which is the sad thing, because you get attached to a neighborhood that you like a lot, but it's probably not going to be the place where you can afford ultimately.
Avi Frey, poster child for the impact of gentrification. So are they emblematic of the neighborhood when you step back from these two individuals to the longer view? Older people who bought a long time ago or generations ago able to stay, newcomers making more than $52,000, able to move in to a changing neighborhood on the rise. Those renters making around the median, like Avi Frey, really living life in the middle and knowing they can't afford to stay?
Yeah, I think so. It's a nice diversity in the neighborhood in a way because you do have these different generations mingling. It's obviously Bed-Stuy is much safer than it was in the 60s, as anyone will tell you, the 70s and 80s. But yeah, it's a very interesting place with all these different dynamics going on.
And we haven't started yet with Jim O'Grady on Grasmere, but listeners, anyone want to call in from Bedford, Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, or Grasmere, Staten Island, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How would you describe your neighborhood and how the median income determines the nature of life? 212-433-9692. Or no matter what you make in those neighborhoods, call in and tell us what you make and where that puts you in the life of Bed-Stuy or Grasmere and where that puts you in terms of your own life and your own future. Do you care if you're the richest or poorest person in your neighborhood or somewhere in the middle? 212-433-WNYC. Call us if you're from Bed-Stuy or Grasmere and what you make and how you see your place in the neighborhood and your future plans for where to live. 212-433-9692. So Jim O'Grady, tell us about this part of Staten Island, another median income neighborhood. And for people who think the Staten Island Ferry is just a way to see the Statue of Liberty, where is that on the island?
Grasmere. You've heard of it, of course.
South Shore, right?
Well, it's if you see Staten Island as in the shape of a kite, the Staten Island Expressway bisects the upper third from the bottom two-thirds. So Grasmere is toward the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, just below the Staten Island Expressway. And Avi Frey and his wife, by the way, they could move to Grasmere.
Why?
Because housing prices are no doubt cheaper than in Bed-Stuy. And you buy a cheaper house, but you get a longer commute. He would probably have to get down to the parking lots in South Beach and take an express bus over the bridge to get to wherever he works, and presumably Brooklyn or Manhattan.
Here is resident Robert Chompy from your piece.
Own the property at 15 plus years, never had really much trouble, and I think it's very nice. It's a mixed neighborhood, but generally speaking, it's, you know, the working class.
And Tommy Dimitri from Grasmere, owner of the Luna Cafe, on managing his finances, making around $52,000.
You know, as far as wealthy people are concerned, they're going to get to do whatever they want whenever they want. But as far as the middle class is concerned, I think for myself, as a father of three, I think twice now before I do anything.
So what should we take away from those guys and those clips?
Well, Robert Champion is interesting. He owns two rental properties in Grasmere. He's owned them for about 15 years. And what you need to remember about the median income is it creates census tracts that have dual realities. So Grasmere has both people striving to reach the middle class. They haven't gotten there yet. And those are the people that Robert Champion sees and deals with. Those are the immigrants. Those are the newcomers who rent his apartments in Grasmere for about $1,200 a month for a one- or two-bedroom. And then there are those people who have made it to the middle class, and they need an affordable home, and they live in Grasmere too. So there's a mix of incomes and economic where you are on the economic ladder and where you're going.
And Jenny Yee from our data news department, one stat that jumped out at me in the Grasmere story is that more than 60% of the residents have arrived since 2000. What does that figure from the census tell us?
So the census, this is actually the American Community Survey data from that came out in December. And
from the Census Bureau. That's one of the
things the
Census Bureau does.
And that most people actually in all the tracks that we looked at moved in since 2000. So 2000 is kind of a more telling figure is the number of or the percentage of people in these tracks who moved in since 2010. So just looking at the last couple of years, in Stevens tract in Bed-Stuy, 22.3% moved in 2010 or later, and in Grasmere, 4% moved in 2010 or later. So it's pretty clear that Bed-Stuy is changing much quickly, much more quicker than Grasmere is in
but
the last couple of years.
But what does it mean? How would you two compare the neighborhoods in those respects? Is it wealthier people moving in to Bed-Stuy and more middle-income people moving in to Grasmere, even though there's an inflow into both places?
I would say definitely. A lot of the older generation that I spoke with want to get out of Bed-Stuy, not just cash in on the housing boom, but they've had enough. They're much older. They want to move south. They want somewhere warmer. Their sort of time in New York has passed, and they're ready to move on. On the other hand, you also have this booming brownstone market. These are beautiful turn-of-the-century homes, like I said, architecturally very significant. That's what drew Avi and his wife there. And that's what's in the same census tract. Houses sold – brownstones sold for $1.85 million, a number like unthinkable, you know, just 10 years ago.
And in Grasmere, you have a census tract that is really in the middle of the middle class, but it is surrounded by more prosperous tracts and neighborhoods. So what people there worry about, homeowners, is will their kids be able to afford to buy a house in this neighborhood the way they did, or even in that part of Staten Island? Right next door, there's a census tract with a country club and a median income of over $100,000.
Ben in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Brian? Well, I'm from Brooklyn. We grew up on Prospect Place, right between Clawson and Grand. And all my friends, we fit that same median income that you were talking about. But nobody I know could afford to live there anymore. Everybody has moved. And, you know, they've moved to different places. And we, you know, some of them are paying around that same $1,800, $2,000 a month rent that you're talking about. But the frustration that we felt was that we knew, we saw the neighborhood changing. And we weren't able to – nobody could afford the houses at the time. This is like mid-'80s, early 90s. But everybody that moved in seemed to be making way more than what you posted as median income. And they come from – they seem to have come from the Midwest or just places that just may not seem to be more desirable if you look at it from a young person's point of view. And they just – they think that $2,000 a month is a steal. So – we don't, like, it's just, it was really frustrating because there was no sense of ownership by, if you want to call it, plank owners in the neighborhood.
Right.
And we're just hopeless. We just know we'll never be able to afford them.
So where are you now?
Actually, I had to move back into, I moved back to Coney Island. I moved in Coney Island in Brooklyn, which is one of the areas which still you can find semi-affordable housing, but it's like the neighborhood is still in that middle of, it's still kind of almost a bad neighborhood, but it's slowly changing.
Yeah.
But it's
right.
It's
and thank you, Ben. And further away from Manhattan. If we're talking about people having to move from Bed-Stuy to Coney Island to Grasmere, if they're making in the middle, you know, regardless of where their commute is to.
Yeah, obviously, that East New York is a possibility, even further away from the Central Business District of New York City. We did another story about that. How the poor and the less fortunate are moving further and further away from convenient transportation.
Valerie in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Hi, Valerie.
Hi. How are you doing, Brian?
Okay.
My husband and I, we're both freelance photographers, so we live in Bed-Stuy. I would say we probably make, depending on the year, probably about $70,000 to $90,000 a year. And we love the neighborhood. We're renting. We make it, you know, rent's about $2,000. But we would love to buy, but we're afraid that we won't be able to afford to live in a neighborhood once we are able to live here.
Have you started to look around and figure out where you might be able to afford to buy for $70,000 to $90,000 a year income?
Unfortunately, not really. I mean, we kind of, our heart is really stuck on this neighborhood. And two houses on our block went for about $800 and $850. And, you know, we're thinking maybe not buying a brownstone or a home, you know, maybe just having to buy an apartment might be an easier thing just to stay in this neighborhood, you know?
Valerie, good luck. I hope you can stay. It certainly sounds like your heart is there. So do you think, the three of you, that the takeaway from this series so far, and I know it's going to continue with profiles of some of the other neighborhoods where the average income is around $52,000, median income, just that it's getting harder to make it in New York on the median income without having a super long commute if you work in the central business district, or it's more complicated than that?
It's complicated. I think the most surprising thing for me was the amount of economic diversity in a household that we looked at. You know, some people definitely hit the median. Some people are way below the median. A lot of it just has to do with how soon you got in there, into that neighborhood.
New Yorkers seek out these neighborhoods because they're affordable. They get there and then they find other pressures come to bear. The housing prices start to go up. If you're an immigrant, you may be undocumented. It's hard to make a living that can move you out of a place with many other people. So, yeah, it's a varied situation in the middle of New York City.
Jenny, any numbers you're crunching that we're not hearing yet that are interesting?
I think when we're looking at household income, the household size is a very important number to look at too, because household income is just the sum of everyone who's over 15 living together, everyone who's over 15, how much they're making. The citywide average household size is 2.6 people. In Brooklyn, it's in the Brooklyn Bed-Stuy tract, it's about 1.9. In the Queens tract that we looked at for this series, it's actually 5.2.
It's in Corona?
In Corona, exactly. So looking at how large, how many people have to live on 52,000, I think makes the story very, it varies a lot.
Fascinating. Jenny Yee from the WNYC Data News Department, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
News reporter Stephen Nesson and Jim O'Grady, thank you very much, too.
Thank you, Brian.
And keep listening, folks, on Morning Edition and All Things Considered for the Life in the Middle series as we continue to profile these neighborhoods of New York City where the median income is right around the citywide median income of $51,865.